When I take communion,
Holy Spirit gives me new revelation.
Gives me new revelation
of who Jesus really is.
Of who Jesus really is.
I believe the life power and authority and ability
of the Father God
is hidden in the blood of Jesus.
When I confess,
when I take communion,
when I pray over the elements,
something inside of me changes. Because I'm recognizing
and valuing
the blood of Jesus Christ. It is not like any other blood. It is the very bloodline.
A life force of God.
When I got born again,
I stepped into
the blood of Jesus Christ. And it cleansed me from all sin.
I now have the power of eternal life.
In me.
I am born again.
And cleansed by the blood of Jesus.
I'm not in darkness anymore.
I'm in the kingdom of light. Thank you, Jesus. For this precious ceremony. I love to take communion.
And draw close to you. We can also say things, "That is so good, Darren," and it really does make a difference in the person saying it. I believe that those of you who are listening, you can make up your own affirmations. You can say things like, "The power of communion helps me get through my physical walk every day." You can say things that are just like that. God loves hearing those kinds of things.
Now, Barb, I'd just like to say this. A lot of Christians make very negative confessions about communion.
Yes.
Oh, it takes too much time. It's messy. You know, I know one pastor's wife was upset because the children spilled grape juice on the carpet. Well, now, wait a minute. Is the carpet more precious to us than these children learning about communion? So they had to take all the red grape juice out of the church and bring in white grape juice. Don't serve me white grape juice. I want something that's blood red.
Well, we've got kind of a Martha thing going on here.
I guess she
came to Jesus and she said, "Oh, Jesus, now look at all the work I'm doing, and look what Mary's not helping me at all, Jesus." And so sometimes women do go through that Martha thing.
Well, you know, there's no book in the Bible called the Book of Martha.
That's true.
End of conversation.
That's true. Now, this very last part I'd like to talk about in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And Paul here talks about the Lord's Supper. And he says in verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" Now remember, Jesus didn't die for himself. Jesus didn't die for the Father. Jesus' death was because of he loved us. It was for us. And the same thing, communion, it's for us. And in the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant." Remember, this is a new covenant, no longer the old covenant, the new covenant. "In my blood, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Darren, it should be as well be a celebration for everybody who takes communion.
It should be really a happy time when we can get close to Jesus and we can say, and folks, you have to understand this spiritually, and some people get all bent out of shape. "You mean you tell me this is the actual blood of Jesus?" Let me tell you, I look at it spiritually. When I lift the cup to my lips to partake of communion, I want to see that spiritually, because I can't understand it any other way. If I just look at it, well, it's just Welch's grape juice, or some of my brothers that take the actual wine, well, it's just Mogan David. No, I don't look at it that way. I say this is the spiritual force of Father God here, and by communion, when you speak over the cup, when you declare what it is, and you go and you read your scriptures over the cup and over the bread, and you bless the cup and you bless the bread and you serve it to yourself and to your family or to loved ones or whoever's around you, it becomes a living ceremony. And once you see that, once you tap into that, you realize, man, there's a life force here. When I go to communion and I bless the elements, I take that communion, or the pastor or the minister blesses that, it changes. It's not just ordinary elements anymore.
That's right. And one of the significant evidences of that is this next few verses, Darren, that it is not just ordinary, or it is not just common. In verse 27 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." That's how important it is. That's how serious it is that you just don't come into communion after being out in this world and take it in a flippant manner. It is important that you settle in there and get focused on Jesus Christ, because I'll tell you, in the next few verses here, it tells you what happens if we take it in an unworthy manner. It's very serious.
Well, let's just take it here. And, you know, we talked a while ago about getting confessed up, but here in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, it says, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself if he does not judge the body rightly." I believe he's talking there about judging the body of Jesus rightly.
That's right. Yeah.
"For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. And I believe that many people have died prematurely before their lifespan was really full, because they haven't rightly evaluated or valued the broken body and blood of Jesus. They could have lived in great health for a long, long time."
I know of one person, one individual, who led a congregation, and he did not respect nor reverence communion in the way that the Lord Jesus wanted him to. He is sick today. He is sick in his physical body. And it says here, "He who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge rightly the body of Jesus Christ. And for this reason, many of you," he's speaking to people who probably are believers, "many of you are weak and sick." Darren and I would pray that today you examine yourself, as verse 28 says, and say, "Lord, have I ever seriously contemplated what you did for me? And when I take communion, do I take it seriously?" Because I believe it's very important, Darren, that we take that communion seriously, that we don't have flagrant sin in our lives. And I mean that. Now, if you're ignorant about sin in your life, he will show it to you. But if you know you are sinning, you know you are a sinner, and you take communion, you are taking it unworthily. And I would be very, I would be very fearful if I were you.
Well, it says, "Touch my anointed, touch not my anointed, and do my prophets no harm." And I believe that's almost like here. Be careful how you address and how you approach communion. Don't put it down. Don't dishonor it. We're saying give it great value in your lives. Give it the same value that God gave it, if that's even humanly possible. But I think as much as lies within us, as they say, we need to address the communion table, we'll say that, or a communion situation, with great respect and great awe, and just take it with that in mind.
What Paul says in the 34th verse, and as you said in the last session, Darren, that in Acts they went from house to house taking communion. They did not keep communion as dinner. They did not eat communion as a dinner or a supper. And he says in the 34th verse of 1 Corinthians 11, "If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home, so you don't come in together for judgment, because God will judge you. If you're just eating these elements because you're hungry, this is not going to suit God. He is not going to be pleased with you." And I really appreciate the fact when the first Christians came together, Darren, they were taking communion together, and we read that in Acts chapter 2, I believe it is.
By the way, Christianity is known as the Great Confession.
Mm-hmm.
I believe we need to confess the right things with the right heart attitude, the right respect.
Yes. Here it was just totally new to them. This is the very beginning of Acts, and the Holy Spirit has been poured out on even the Gentiles, and they've been speaking in tongues, and I can't imagine the excitement, Darren. And here it says in the 44th verse of Acts 2, "All of those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house." I believe that they were taking communion as they were going from house to house. And yes, they were eating and drinking together, having supper and having dinners together, but they were also taking communion.
Time of great reverence.
Oh, yes.
You know, I would like to pray, Barbara, before we finish this teaching, to give our friends some idea of how they might pray over communion. It doesn't have to be exactly this way. But I believe the spiritual intent of what we're about to pray here will tell you how we approach communion. So let's suppose, now we've already taken communion with you in these teachings here.